All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to a founding member of the Knockouts division, the first ever Knockouts champion, first woman inducted in the TNA Hall of Fame. I could talk for half an hour about her accolades, but we have a big show coming up, Slammiversary 2022, and very happy to be talking to Gail Kim about all of that. How are you doing leading into this huge show there, Gail? I imagine you're quite excited.
I am anticipating this. I've been waiting for this moment for months, to be honest. To be part of this company for 15 of the last 20 years, at different times, 12 consecutively now. As you can imagine, I'm very dedicated to this company, very loyal for many reasons, and seen all the highs and lows and stayed on that roller coaster because I truly just believe in this company. And listen, despite all the ups and downs, we are still here 20 years later and just, you know, trying to have the best wrestling show possible this time. And I think we're doing a great job. We're getting such positive feedback and, you know, because of the ups and downs, I feel like everyone has just been so positive lately in terms of our wrestling product and just love our show.
Yeah, it's an amazing show. I mean, the quality and consistency are remarkable, and especially over, like you said, such a remarkable period of time. And it's cool that there's that returning to Nashville, like homecoming sort of dynamic. I remember watching like the, you know, weekly pay-per-views back in the day and everything like that. So kind of a cool connectivity there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Asylum, you know, we actually did the last show in the Asylum before they tore down the venue, and now it's rebuilt as a new Asylum now. So it's very fitting for us to go back for our 20th anniversary. I'm really excited to see, you know, all the nostalgic faces, because I don't even know, really, everyone that's going to show up, because I'm not creative, actually. I think everyone thinks because I'm part of management in the company, I don't know all the moving parts all the time. And I was inquiring about it for weeks, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to stop asking because I just want to be surprised. Reunion of sorts.
Yeah, that must be cool for you because, like, you're, you know, entrenched in the backstage dynamics and telling those certain stories, but there's, like, a fandom kind of connection in as far as, like, not being privy to some of the machinations. So that must be kind of a cool sort of confluence there.
It is cool, you know, because obviously, as being part of this business, I'm a fan as well, just like everyone else. That's the reason why we all became wrestlers, because we're fans of the business. And, you know, just with all the spoilers and like dirt sheets and all those things, sometimes it can ruin aspects of the business. And so I'm all for surprises and, you know, the fans being caught off guard and, you know, just enjoying what it used to be, what I watched when I was growing up, because there's no internet and behind the scenes action, which I know people love, but sometimes can demystify what's so great about this business.
Yeah, that's so well articulated. And it's kind of funny you say that, because I was talking to my buddy Matt Lamers the other day, and he was like, man, I gotta get off some of these dirt sheets. Like, I keep spoiling this for myself. And I'm like, you gotta stop sipping the seltzers and reading Meltzer for a little bit, man. Just sit back.
Yeah. You know, I don't read dirt sheets at all. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that do. If I catch any type of dirt sheet headline, it's normally on Twitter, because you can't avoid it sometimes from the people you follow.
Yeah.
But I choose not to click on a link, and if anything, I find out from within the business and the rumblings of people talking. So, you know, it keeps it to a minimum for me.
Yeah, for sure, a good way to be, I would think. But you touched on like producing matches nowadays, and I was listening to your interview with Renee, and you were talking about knowing wrestling as a wrestler, but how this new position was kind of expanding your perspectives and everything like that. Like, how, you know, creatively stimulating is that? Can you kind of talk about that, because that sounds cool?
You know, yeah, as a wrestler, and I think someone as a retired wrestler, I always talk about this, how every athlete, no matter what sport you're in, you're afraid of retirement. You don't want it to end. And so you love it so much, and so you fear that day. And it took me a long time to make that decision because of that reason. And also my body was breaking down, and I didn't want the fans to see me at anything but my best. And so once I started producing, which also became a natural progression for me, I didn't know if it was going to give me the same fulfillment. And it, I'm not going to lie, it took some time to adjust to that, you know, having that control in the ring and performing. But then once I got over that hump, which probably took maybe a year at the most, I truly get that fulfillment of watching the women that I produce, you know, grow as performers. And when they kill it, I have that high with them for weeks. I feel just as fulfilled as I did when I performed. I never thought that would happen, but it has, and I'm so grateful that it has, actually, because I do not want to return to the ring broken, because I miss it so much. But the girls give me fulfillment. You know, I just want them to develop and grow and achieve all their dreams just like I did.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not obviously necessarily like a trainer role per se, but some element of like imparting wisdom and everything like that. Like, is it sort of like a paying it forward kind of dynamic too, in a sense, just like the teachings of Ron Hutchison being passed down the lineage and all?
Absolutely. You know, Christy Hemme came back to the company and she's my best friend, and she's in a different role in terms of production as well. But, you know, we love to give back to the women. We're very, I guess, pro women, I guess you could say, within this business and just in general. And I think once, when you're in a talent position sometimes and you're younger, you have this competitive edge, and you, of course, you get along with girls, but you still also have to compete with them when there's a minimum amount of roles. So really throughout the years, you just realize helping each other out, propping each other up, moving this movement forward, I guess you could call it, just helps everyone, helps us all grow, helps us all achieve things. And there's really just, look at Impact right now. We have almost 20 women, and all of them are used in some capacity. And that's the ultimate goal, is for all of us women to be able to have roles within this business that we love so much and not have, you know, have to compete for, say, 5 spots on the roster.
Yeah, and I mean, like, when you were actively competing and also still now in the producer role, it seems like there's been, like, a real lineal sense of, like, the Impact, you know, Knockouts division being, like, among the, you know, most stacked women's divisions in the entirety of pro wrestling. So I imagine that's quite exciting for you, and kind of reflective also in this, you know, big announcement for Slammiversary. In the intro, I was talking about a bunch of firsts that you've been involved with. It must have been cool to announce that Queen of the Mountain match. Can you kind of talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, King of the Mountain has been a staple within TNA history, Impact history. So, you know, it just made sense. Just a couple months ago, the girls did their very first Ultimate X match. And that was history in itself. And now they get to go on to the next thing. And it just seemed like a natural progression. And, you know, even with the Ultimate X match, it was the girls really fighting for it. And Scott, I remember they had the setup for the Ultimate X for the men at a TV taping one day, and the girls were like, well, we want to do it too. And Scott just watched each girl kind of prove themselves by climbing that structure. And I was just standing there watching. I was like, this is amazing. You know, these girls are fighting for what they want, just like I did. And Scott and the creative were like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, they had a lot of pressure on them, but they delivered. And now, obviously, it wasn't even a doubt in creative's mind to do this Queen of the Mountain match for such a special occasion like the 20th anniversary. So all the girls, I mean, all former Knockout world champions, I just saw the graphic the other day and I got chills. I was like, oh my gosh, these girls are going to kill it. They're all 5 fierce competitors. And I really don't know who's going to win in this. I just know I already put the pressure on them. I was like, we're going to steal the show. I mean, that's the pressure. I want them to raise the bar and just step up and come walk away being the best match on the show.
Yeah, for sure. And it's curious, I imagine you would be agenting this match and kind of producing it, is that correct?
I don't know yet, but I would assume so. I don't want to make all assumptions, but they know I've been working on it myself on my off time, just like I'm a wrestling nerd, just like I was in terms of my own matches, you know, doing a lot of research and coming up with, you know, just a lot of ideas and just being invested you know, basically being very invested in the match. So I would imagine I would be, but we'll see. They might have two agents. Sometimes we have two agents for big matches. The Ultimate X was myself and Chris Sabin because he had so much experience in that regard. So we'll see what happens. I would imagine I would be a part of it.
I guess I just ask because, like, earlier you were talking about how, like, some of the maneuvers you took throughout your career were very, you know, damaging to your body. And I feel like a match like this is very oriented to, like, falling off the ladders and, like you said, wanting to steal the show. So, I mean, it's a curious dynamic. Is there a certain, like, mediating between it a little bit where it's like you almost want to impart certain advice but not creatively stifle them? Like, where it's like, oh, you know, maybe don't do anything, like, too crazy, or, like, is there any kind of dynamic like that? Or
always like, yeah, if you guys want to do something crazy, it's just more about, you know, telling the proper story for the fans and getting them to connect, and, you know, just like you said, guiding them and imparting some knowledge. But it's most of the word guidance is the best way to put it, because, you know, we're all our own creative artists in the ring, in a sense. I, for myself as a talent, I always wanted that freedom to be able to create, and I want to do the same for those girls. You know, it's, everyone's got their own style, everyone knows what they're capable of, and it's just for me to guide and push them to their limit.
Yeah, I was trying to find a way to articulate that, just because I noticed that a lot in wrestling, where it's like some of the more like tenured performers are like, yeah, I took a lot of these bumps and my body's kind of feeling it, but it's like at the same time, it's like the younger performers want to do crazy stuff. But I felt like a lot of your interviews, when you were at that juncture in your career, you wanted to express yourself there. So it's cool that you're allowing that sort of freedom and you have that kind of perspective as a performer.
Oh yeah, definitely. Being in the ring definitely has helped me, and having other producers and many producers throughout the years between WWE and TNA Impact. I've gone, you know, I had many people to guide me. I was very fortunate to be able to pick a lot of people's brains, and that's just all I want to be there for, you know, in terms of the women and the men as well. You know, I don't exclude the men at all. It's just, of course, I have a very vested interest in this division because, you know, it was there from the very beginning. So it's incredible to see from 2007, when the division was born, what it has become today. And the fact that, you know, to this day, there's always still a lot of independent women that reach out and say, I want to be part of this division, because they see that it's a great division and that people love being a part of it and that everyone participates and that, you know, we've just been a cornerstone of TNA Impact, just like the X division has.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the male competitors and stuff like that. There's a pretty big match at the top of the card here. And I was noticing back in the day, you had a tag team match against Eric Young there, and you got the W there. He's going to be contending for Josh Alexander's title there. What are your thoughts on that Impact World title match there?
You know, it's kind of like the embodiment, you know, Eric Young has always embodied what TNA Impact has. He's been through so many different characters and executed them all amazingly well, you know, so well-rounded. People could say he is the person from the past in a sense, but he is also very current. And listen, Eric Young still has it. He's always had it. And I think this will probably be Josh's biggest test because of that reason. And listen, I'm a fellow Canadian, just like I think the Canadian wrestlers being in the water, we just, you know, bar to live up to, and these two do. And Josh's work ethic, how much pressure he puts on himself to be our champion and to represent our company. So I really don't know who's going to walk away. I just know that all the fans are going to win out of this, because it's going to be a highly competitive, amazing match. I'm looking forward to it. So I don't know who's going to steal the show that night, whether it's going to be the girls or the main event. Who knows?
Yeah, we got a, you know, a lot to look forward to and everything like that. Great match, like you said. I mean, Josh Alexander, such a great, you know, technical wrestler and everything like that. And Eric Young's, you know, tenure in the sport and everything like that. And yeah, tough as nails too. I was talking to Sean Spears and he was talking about how Eric Young ended up like snapping his ankle in like a kind of Fugazi ring in my hometown of Oshawa. So coming back from that and showing the grit.
Oh yeah, I mean, Eric Young literally has been around since I was around. He was wrestling probably right before me. So it's been 22 years from the day that we started training. So I met him maybe a year into my training because we were both from Ontario. And he never had an injury where he was out of commission until just recently. He broke, what was his injury? He came back so fast. To be honest, that man is a machine. He has gone straight throughout that whole time, kind of like Chris Jericho. Both of them were very well known for not having any injuries for a very lengthy amount of time, almost their whole careers. And just recently, they both had one and bounced back really quickly. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, truly incredible. And as much as we're talking about how great this upcoming card is, I'm kind of curious because you've had quite the, you know, Slammiversary legacy over the years, like wrestling some of the more known knockout names over the years, like Angelina Love, Taryn Terrell, Brooke Tessmacher. Do you have like a certain favorite Slammiversary moment or even like a couple that stand out?
Yeah, that's from my personal self. I think I blocked out everything else because of, you know, you only have certain magical moments in your career. And definitely it would have to be Taryn Terrell last knockout standing in Boston. It was just one of those matches where I think not a lot of people expected much. And I knew Taryn's strengths. She actually did stunt work outside of wrestling. She was just a very physical being. And, you know, my whole career, I just always wanted to play to my opponent's strengths. And, that night was truly magical, and to this day, one of my favorite matches in my career. And I always tell the girls, listen, you shouldn't, nowadays people, I've heard wrestlers say they work for GIFs on social media, where they just want to see a little replay of a move. I'm like, what are you doing? You don't work for moves and a little highlight. You want to work for lasting memories, where fans 10, 15, 20 years from now will say, do you remember that match? And the fact that people can still come up to me and say that they love that match, you know, from 2013, it's incredible to have those lasting memories for myself and for the fans.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you can still interweave those like big high spot moments, but like you said, punctuated and kind of accented even further when there's that like story underpinning it, like that cutter off the ramp. I was rewatching it and I was like, oh damn, that was a crazy move.
Yeah, it was insane. And I think the boys were just like, wait, what? And they were shocked that we did it too. And I think the fans were, and you know, really just to come backstage and to have that, respect from your peers, and honestly, the women are always battling, we're always trying to prove ourselves, especially at that time is an extra fight in my mind, of just always battling to prove we're good enough, we're just as good, we're, you know, we can draw, we can do these things. And that was just another little rung on the ladder that we could climb.
Absolutely, and some rungs are going to be climbed this weekend for sure. A lot to look forward to there, or next weekend, I suppose. I'm so excited with everything going on, but I do want to be mindful of your time and schedule, though. I imagine you're quite busy, Gail. So, is there anything you might want to maybe add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here?
Yeah, I just want to really thank the fans for the past 20 years, and you know, tune into Slammiversary 20. You never know who you're going to see, because I don't know everyone we're going to see, but I know there's going to be some nostalgic faces, and it's going to be a great time. And we also have the fallout from Slammiversary the next night in the same venue in Nashville on Monday night. So come on out if you're in the area, if you're in driving distance, it would be great.
Yeah, going to be a memorable series of nights for sure. And yeah, just a memorable interview. Definitely wanted to talk to you for quite a while. Been a fan for a good amount of time, and just really appreciate you coming on the show, Gail. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.